So maybe that means that things will be a little normaler. Is that a word? Than we had expected they would be. Or maybe, just maybe, this means that we should expand the universe of horn broadcasting. John Fox tells me audio sounds very good via the Ustream channel, so maybe that's a good sign. Maybe we should go Ustream and White Rose every night, just to see if we can. Yeah, it's a great way to grow the family, isn't it? I'm checking on the Horn chat room right now. Wow, cool. Jug of Punch is in there. Lottie's in there, hopefully. So you too now can wander on over, if you wish, to headonradionetwork.com/chatroom. It seems to be working. So hallelujah. Let's see. So that means the listen live button works. That means the chat room works. That means the PayPal button works. So okay, I confess. I've spent about the last 3 hours having kittens with crocheted tails that are having conniptions all by themselves. So, no, I haven't forgotten what day it is. I know what day it is. Irish Dave asking, what day is it? What day is it? Hump day! Two also, chap my ass. Mine's been a little bit chat for the last couple of hours, but, no, it's. I think this makes this a very special prayer meeting Wednesday edition, because that's what it is, you know. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and I don't know. Maybe we've got ourselves a little. Could it be a common sense, reasonable prayer meeting Wednesday miracle? Marty noting Ustream. Well, I hope the random commercials that plague Nicole Sandler's Ustream figure don't pop up in the horns. Well, of course they will. The only way they don't is if you pay Ustream $100 a month, which we're not going to do. That's how that works. But we are broadcasting. We are streaming in places. I don't know. Oh. The buffering on the host stream. Did Mark? I don't know. Anyway, we Jeremy with a note. Sound great on the White Rose stream, which is a good thing. Ustream only works for me if I leave screen open and don't do anything. Listen, no input for me on Ustream. I love you. Hallelujah, brethren and sister in glory. Amen. Can I get an amen? Testify. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Ha! On the Horn. Amen. Now get out of them seats. Come on out of them pews. Come on down that blood-red aisle and fall on your knees, brethren and sister, and fall upon your knees in front of the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer, brethren and sister, and ha, glory, and feel the howl. amen, healing rays of common sense are flowing down to you like a mighty river from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized Agnostic, Animated Animist, Bob Kincaid, and this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense. We have much to discuss this evening, brethren and sistren. We have much to discuss. A little bit of historical, hysterical perspective, if you will. A note from our dear friend, Brother Eugene Finnerman, over to FinnermanWorks.com to get us started this evening. Having that hysterical, historical perspective is always, amen, it is always critical in understanding where we were, where we are, where we've been, and why we're in this little handbasket. Yes, yes, glory. He reminds us that yesterday, if you should happen to be like our Brother John, Brother Robert, Brother Angry, or Brother Philip, or many of our other fine friends in places like Australia on the other side of the international dating line, day before yesterday, Eugene reminds us that yesterday was the feast day of St. Albercius Marcellus. Yes. History from the days of the early church. Albercius Marcellus was a second century bishop whose missionary efforts in Mesopotamia were so obviously successful. Amen. He notes at least no one killed him. According to Christian folklore and history, glory, Albercius Marcellus was also said to have exorcised Lucilla. Now, she was the daughter of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius. Brother Eugene notes that that would make Albercius the patron saint of malpractice, because Lucilla was the Emperor's sane child, Marcus Aurelius having had two, a boy and a girl. The good bishop apparently did not notice any of the quirks in Marcus Aurelius's boy child by the name of Commodus. Brother Eugene notes Hollywood has proved a little more observant. So while the divinely gifted Albercius Marcellus had actually seen demons in Lucilla, he thought it was perfect. Normal for Commodus to want to be introduced as Hercules, the son of Jupiter. Turns out that, well, after Marcus Aurelius, Commodus took the throne, became emperor of all the Roman Empire, and declared that he wanted the Roman Empire to be renamed, and I kid you not, I am not speaking in tongues, Commodiana. Imagine if that had stuck. You'd have Commodiana apples and Commodiana Georgia. And wouldn't there be a Commodiana New York? Harrowing. And it kind of makes you wonder if we'd still call a commode a commode, doesn't it? Now, among the things that didn't get exercised by St. Albercius Marcellus was the fact that Commodus had this thing for killing animals. He liked to be a gladiator, and he liked to stand at a rather significant distance and shoot lions and ostriches and things like that with a bow and arrow. He did. Truly, truly he did. You've seen Gladiator, haven't you? In fact, he turned out to be such a loser that Lucilla, and maybe St. Albercius Marcellus, exercised her common sense right out of her noggin, because she decided that it was time to put paid to baby brother. And the guy, as Eugene explains to us, Eugenius in the proper Latin, he ran his mouth and got them both killed, and Commodus had to wait for the Praetorian cohort to bump him off. So, Brother Eugene notes, Edward Gibbon began the decline and fall of the Roman Empire with the reign of Commodus. If only St. Albercius had exercised the right child. Too bad. Too bad. Oh, the early history of the church is full of little gems, little nuggets like that. But St. Albercius Marcellus, we can fast forward about 2,000 years to 2013. October 2013, as a matter of fact. And somebody who also believes in demons, I imagine St. Albercius Marcellus would be right at home with a fellow who thinks that demons can inhabit sweaters from the vintage clothing shop, the second-hand store, the Goodwill. Yes, indeed, we are talking, brethren and sisters, about Marion Pat Robertson, former liquor supply officer in the Korean conflict. Took to the airwaves, he did, as is often his wont. Took to the airwaves to warn us all about the danger posed by... Oh, come on, you know already, don't you? Sure you do. Atheists!
You know, the liberals, the so-called socialists, the progressives, they've moved away from God. And when you move away from God, then you say, oh, we're humanists. And then, as a result of humanity and rejecting God, you have the orgy of the French Revolution.
Huh? What? Wait a minute. The orgy of the French Revolution? I think if the French Revolution had been an orgy, it probably would not have been referred to as the terror. It would have been referred to as, and maybe I'm crazy here, the orgy. Or the happy. Or the blissful, if it had been an orgy. Yeah, liberals, progressives, atheists, they're the ones that caused the French Revolution. All that wanting to see the last king strangled with the entrails of the last priest and all of that. Kind of hard to imagine Marion Pat Robertson jumping out there to defend the holy, corrupt French church, but, well, it is. Dr. John noting, Pat the liquor supplier. You just know he was watering and skimming, don't you, says Dr. John. Oh, yeah. You could have probably upended a bottle of Pat's gin and, well, you probably had to upend the whole case to get a minor headache. Praise the Lord, he done it again. Turned the liquor into water. Mercy. Server seems to be settled down, checking in the... All right. Getting a 404-5, and yet it says we're streaming. Who knows? But we are out there on Ustream. At any rate, going back to Brother Marion. So, just one little note. Who else recently, and this is one of those things that makes me think that they're coordinating on, I don't know, some sort of morning phone call or maybe Christian telepathy or demons or angels or any of that foolishness they believe in. Do you recall? Yeah, it was the Beckerhead. The Beckerhead, not too long back, was blithering and blathering on about the French Revolution and progressives causing it. I think that begins to constitute proof that there's some sort of wingnut, right-wing, evangelical, Christian clearinghouse of bullshit. Let's try again and see if I can get through the whole 39 seconds without screaming.
You know, the liberals, the so-called socialists, the progressives, they've moved away from God. And when you move away from God, then you say, oh, we're humanists. And then as a result of humanity and rejecting God, you have the orgy of the French Revolution. You have the guillotine cutting off the heads of thousands of people. You have the same thing going on now in Europe. You had it under the Nazis. Why can't we come back to the fact that God loves people?
Where do you begin with something like that? He says guillotines, and then he says you've got the same thing going on in Europe. Now, I hate to keep beating up on our international audience or asking them to work harder than the rest of us have to, but did I miss something? Are there guillotines set up in the village square that and the heads getting lopped off and so forth that I somehow missed? I mean, I know the American for-profit media isn't worth two hoots in hell, but you'd think they'd notice something like guillotinings in major European capitals, wouldn't you? And then, of course, yes, absolutely. Why not? We get guillotines, and then we get who?
Rejecting God. You have the orgy of the French Revolution. You have the guillotine cutting off the heads of thousands of people. You have the same thing going on now in Europe. You had it under the Nazis.
Nazis? Nazi guillotines? Somebody off screen needs to get the blowgun and the Aricept dart and just, hey, Pat, look over there, Pat. What? Ah, much better. No, I don't think it's working. Nazi guillotines in modern-day Europe. Anybody? Bueller? 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 No, I didn't think so. I think I'm not the only person who missed out on all the Nazi guillotines in Europe. Wow. Okay, so the tune in is working well. Thank you, Dr. John. And thank you, Jeremy. And see, there are so many little nuggets out there when you're dealing with Brother Marion. Dr. John noting so-called socialist. Pat, a moment, says Dr. John. There's nothing so-called about my socialism. I'm not like you are with Christianity. You know, so-called Christianity. Yeah, some of us kind of embrace it, don't we? Silly things like a nation being dedicated to the betterment of all of its people. Sure, why not? And then there's us. It was earlier today when I got a note from... When I got a note from Isaac, one of those way too much, maybe was it Isaac? Maybe it wasn't Isaac. But anyway, young man, goes to Barney's. You know, in Manhattan. Oh, there it is. Yeah, it's right. I was looking in the wrong place. It did come from Isaac. Now, this is the Christian America that Marion Robertson favors. So you're a young man, you've got no criminal history. You're perfectly upstanding, and you know you saved your money from your work study job at college because you're actually going to college. And I remember when I would want special things along the way. Maybe I saw a necktie somewhere. Or, well, this young man, he was from Queens. Saved until he scraped together $350 to buy a belt by Salvatore Ferragamo on sale at Barney's in Manhattan. So he took his debit card and he went downtown, went to Barney's, showed his ID, presented his debit card, purchased the $350 designer belt by Salvatore Ferragamo, got it in a bag, walked out of the store. Purchase complete. Capitalist success, right? Not so much. That's when the cops came up. Plainclothes detectives grabbed young Christian. Yes, his name is Trayon Christian. And took him down to the local precinct of the NYPD. Once more, he presented his debit card. Once more, he presented his perfectly legitimate ID. And the cops picked up the phone to call Chase, which was Trayon Christian's bank, who verified that, yeah, that was his card and that was his money, and yes, he'd made the purchase. So they let him go. I suppose this is the part of the program where I don't have to tell you the skin tone of Trayon Christian. The clerk at Barney's who had sold him the belt went ahead and made the sale, you know, commission is commission, right? But then turned around and dropped the dime on him to police, explaining that there was no way somebody like that could possibly ever afford such an expensive Salvatore Ferragamo belt. And that's what the cops told him. In spite of producing such documentation, Christian was told that his identification was false and that he could not afford to make such an expensive purchase. So after completing the sale, the sales clerk at Barney's then picked up the phone, dropped the dime, and said, "I'm pretty sure this transaction's fraudulent." The glories of capitalism and racism converging. Here in this country founded on Christian values. I don't know about you, but give me the so-called socialist any day. But since Marion brought up Nazis, I got something to share with you here that Sister Jude provided. She said, "If we believed in this kind of phony baloney hokum, you'd almost swear that a prayer had been answered, Bob, because it was last week when, and this really got under the skin of Jeremy in Vermont. When Jim Bob Duggar, Quiver Daddy, announced during the Values Voter Summit that America, the United States of America, is just like Nazi Germany. And I said, gee, kind of makes you think that maybe somebody ought to work on getting that flim-flam artist off the air over to the TLC. And lo and behold, Jude sends me this link from RH Reality Check. Thus far, in excess of 5,000 people have signed a petition. And I'll warn you that once you sign a petition, and it's always this way, once you've signed the petition, because I did, once you've signed the petition, RH Reality Check immediately asks you for a donation. May I be so bold as to suggest that maybe, no. Send it this way. But they caught up with this too.
and they write, Holocaust comparisons have become so common among conservative extremists that Duggar was only one of several Value Voters Summit speakers to compare the modern United States to Nazi Germany. They note that there is no way in which losing a democratic election is akin to genocide. Duggar's comments are also unacceptable because there's no way in which tolerating a health care policy you don't like is comparable to having soldiers rip families from their homes and send them to camps where slave labor, starvation, and gas chambers were the norm. They note it's insidious because oceans of pain and suffering can be dismissed if the injustice that caused them has to be like the Holocaust before it's worth fighting. So yeah, over at RH Reality Check, action.rhrealitycheck.org, there's a petition you can sign if you wish to hopefully help get that weirdo Quiver family off of TLC, which would be very nice. And I am not entirely certain if I may name names here, but we're off to a start on fundraising this evening. Thank you very much. And so that means we need 24 folks at $10 apiece to get fundraising taken care of this evening. Fairly, it's not undoable. Ron and Raleigh noting under the subject line, Madame Guillotine. Last I heard, the guillotine was last used in 1977 to lop the head off of a Tunisian immigrant. Funny how it wasn't a French citizen. The Catholic Church didn't stage auto de fés where hundreds of folks were put to the torch because they happened to be the wrong religion, color, or whatever. That never happened. Could you have Marion explain some of the church's orgies of violence? No, Pat's not very good at that. No. And by the way, here now, tonight's reading from the Holy Book of Love, the Bible, brought to you by our good friend Jay Cruzen. From the Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 7 through 12. If your own full brother, or your son or daughter, or your beloved wife, or your intimate friend entices you secretly to serve other gods, whom you and your fathers have not known, gods of any other nations, near at hand or far away from one end of the earth to the other, do not yield to him or listen to him, nor look with pity upon him to spare or shield him. But, says this book of love, kill him. Your hand shall be the first raised to slay him. The rest of the people shall join in with you. You shall stone him to death, because he sought to lead you astray from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. And all Israel, hearing of this, shall fear, and never do such evil as this in your midst. Deuteronomy, chapter 13, verses 7 through 12, an account of the teachings of the God of love. The God of love also says in Deuteronomy, chapter 17, verses 2 through 5, suppose a man or a woman among you, in one of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, has done evil in the sight of the Lord your God, and has violated the covenant by serving other gods or by worshiping the sun, the moon, or any of the forces of heaven, which I have strictly forbidden. When you hear about it, investigate the matter thoroughly. If it is true that this detestable thing has been done in Israel, then that man or woman must be taken to the gates of the town and stoned to death. Thus saith the God of love. Thank you, Jay Cruzen. Thank you very kindly. I like these little readings from Holy Scripture in the Book of Love. The loving God of the Bible. And I'm sure we will have more readings next week from the mouth of the living God of love. and Jeremy with a question. But Bob, what about the death panels and Grandma and Grandpa? We have to be Nazi Germany, say 1942. Oh, never mind. I hate these freaks. I do. I do. I do too, Jeremy. I do, truly. Irish Dave pointing out, but Bob, apparently on Wednesday things begin with, but Bob, aren't the clerks at Barney's all so-called commies since it's in New York City? No, wait, Manhattan, Kansas. Yeah, it gets troublesome in a real hurry, doesn't it? So we have Marion Robertson and his Nazi fixation, which just follows up. They're trying to one-up each other. They're trying to out-Nazi each other. As Lewis Black once remarked, they have Nazi Tourette's. Query coming in via Skype from Sergi. Is there a program on Friday? No, at least not at this point in time. On Friday, I'm going to... by the way, program note. I have decided that we're going to go ahead and be here tomorrow night. Tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon, day after tomorrow, depending on where you are on the planet. We're going to be here for the Thursday program because we can still make the necessary functions just by leaving really insanely early on Friday. So we will have a program tomorrow evening for one particular reason. And that is, tomorrow is a very, very special day. Tomorrow, the 24th day of October 2013, will mark the 8th anniversary of the Horn existing in an internet-only format. We're actually older than that, closer to around 10 years. But tomorrow is the 8th anniversary of this effort at community building, this effort at listener-supported radio. You know, we made it go for a couple of years before we ever had to solicit any contributions. But from then on, it's been entirely y'all that's kept this going. And so I figure something like an 8th anniversary is worth sticking around to celebrate. And I was really kind of creeped out at the idea that we wouldn't be able to do a show because of technical difficulties. Did I say show? Program. So, we may even try to pull together, depending on if Duncan is up for it, what are we calling it now? Thorn in the Front Porch Thursday? Something like that? Yeah. And let's see, headonradionetwork.com does appear to be up and running now, but had a question in coming from Chad. Chad asking I can get some cooperation out of the machine here. Bob, can you send me the link to contribute to Head On Radio? If you want to use PayPal, it is just go to PayPal and use bobkincaid@gmail.com. If you click personal and gift, it will take away the transfer fees, or at least some of them, I think. But let me just pull that up here real quick. The direct link to the contribute page is headonradionetwork.com. /contribute. headonradionetwork.com/contribute. Let me just type this in. I tell you what, this multitasking, this is something. So thanks for asking, Chad. I really appreciate you doing so. All right, goodbye. Goodbye, Marion. That's enough for you tonight. Oh, that was fast. Thanks, Chad. Hey, Bob, I found the contribute link. Keep up the good work. Thanks, Chad. And Chad just got us, well, he took care of 10 slots in tonight's contribution window. If anyone would care to match him, that would be deeply appreciated. That means we've got 14 more at $10 apiece. And we will we'll be done with fundraising for the evening, which would be magnificent. Thank you immensely. Chad, thank you very much. Now, like I said, we've gone... last week it was Glenn Beck with Guillotines and Nazis. This week, he's a little behind the curve, but, you know, he's old. It's Marion Robertson with the Guillotines and the Nazis. Let's move over to our old buddy, Chappie Gordon Chappie Klingenschmidt. Yeah, you go to the Klingenschmidt cutoff and you get out of your, and you cut off your Klingenschmidt. God, I love Johnny Carson. Remember the other day when I, a couple of weeks ago, had a low rent meltdown over the fact that this stupid bastard Gordon Klingenschmidt, disgraced Navy chaplain who wants to make the Muslims and the Jews and the Giants and the Wiccans pray in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And he was talking about how Obamacare causes cancer and that kind of crazy crap. And I said, wait a minute. Because, lo and behold, there he was, a 501c3 charitable organization that didn't have no business a politicking from the pulpit. And I said, this is just a little fishy. Well, guess what? It was a lot fishy. Because, lo, and behold, it turns out that just being a praying in Jesus' name kind of Klingenschmidt and Chappie is not enough for Chappie Klingenschmidt. You know, about 1 million units of penicillin will clear up your Klingenschmidt. No, he's decided that he wants to go to the Colorado State House. And I don't know exactly what the district layout is, but I think this creep is in Colorado Springs. If you're out there, Kevin, Kevin in Colorado Springs, our good friend, he's running for the 15th district seat in the Colorado State House. And he wants people to support him, you know, vote for him and, of course, give him money. So that he can go from praying in Jesus' name to legislating in Jesus' name. Let's check in with Chappie, shall we?
Hello, my name is Gordon Klingenschmidt. I'm running for office for Colorado State Legislature, House District 15. And I want to encourage you that...
Oh, wait a minute. Stop. I got to tell you, there's a banner underneath him that announces Gordon Klingenschmidt, PhD. Now we have more than a few PhDs out there in the audience, in the Horn family commune. Many of whom are running for the matches to. Really? What draw spunky school of God knows what did you get a PhD from, Chappie? Well, in this case, it does not stand for Doctor of Philosophy. It stands for piled higher and deeper. But back to Chappie.
Your vote is a sacred trust. You can only give one vote to one candidate in this primary. So I want to treat this like a job interview.
Oh, this should be fun. It's a job interview. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Chappie? Never mind.
Now take a minute and think about it. If I was applying for a job, and I am, I'm applying for your vote, and I want you to hire me. Why would you hire me instead of these other candidates who may be in the primary against me? I'm going to give you a few reasons, and I want you to, maybe you'll run into them. You can ask them a few of these questions if they have these kind of qualifications.
Oh boy, this is a veritable curriculum wheat-eye, isn't it?
Number one, I'm a proven leader.
How? You got yourself drummed out of the United States Navy for trying to make the Muslims pray in Jesus' name, you dumbass. That ain't leadership, that's zealotry. That's theocracy, you fool.
I graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy in the top 20% of my admitting class with a degree in political science. I know politics. I've studied it.
You know, I've studied Shakespeare. That doesn't qualify me to build a time machine back to the 16th century now, does it?
No.
I've also earned my Ph.D. in theology.
Oh, well, okay. Okay, everybody that was worried about the value of their Ph.D.s, you can stand down now. He's got a Ph.D. in theology. He's got a Ph.D. in imaginary creatures. That kind of makes my J.D., like, you know, a J.D. in... astrobiology, right?
As a Christian chaplain, I'll tell you a little bit about my story, but...
No, don't.
I've
Save it.
Served our country.
Until you got drummed out for trying to make the Muslims, the Jews, the giant Hindus, and the Buddhists, and the Animists and the Wiccans pray in Jesus' name. Go ahead.
Ask the other candidates if they're a 20-year military veteran.
And that qualifies you for political office how? I mean, I know we have, and I mean no disrespect, we have a cult around the military. It is not unusual in any organized state to have a military cult. But having spent 20 years saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, does not mean that you're going to be particularly good at crafting legislation, especially when you've got a bad case of Klingenschmitt.
I served in both the Air Force and the Navy. I was honorably discharged a few years ago, but...
You were honorably discharged. Again, after trying to make the Jews, the Muslims, the Giants, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Sikhs, the Wiccans, and whatnot, whoever, pray in Jesus' name. But do... Chappie, go on. This is precious.
I used to work just down the street here at United States Space Command. Right inside...
Taking Jesus to the aliens.
At Building 1.
Oh, not Building 2. You're special.
I volunteered to become a Navy chaplain because I wanted to follow God's call on my life. I felt a special calling to that ministry. And so I served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was deployed. And I know... Many of you families understand what it's like to have a loved one serve overseas. Serving in combat aboard USS Anzio, my programs as a chaplain won many awards, including Best in the Navy. But then I was forced to defend the Constitution. When I swore that oath to defend the Constitution against its foreign and domestic enemies, I took it very seriously. And when the Secretary of the Navy began censoring the prayers of the chaplain, saying, oh, you can't pray in Jesus' name, I took a stand. And my stand actually cost my career. But the good news is I was vindicated by the United States Congress. And I...
Really? The Congress is in the vindicating business? I thought they were in the obstructing business. Note rolling in from... Dr. John. Dr. Chappie. Dr. John notes, I never really believed in grade inflation until you said Chappie Klingenschmitt, Ph.D. That's past inflation. That's grade bloviation, Dr. John. Ron and Raleigh, Ph.D. in theology? Don't you get a doctor of divinity in theology? No, that's a doctor of Turkish taffy. No, I'm sorry, divinity. No, that's a doctor of praline. And you have to give us a chappy hiatus, I'd say, you know, 6 months or so. Do you wear a truss for your chappy hiatus? I don't know. Jeremy, subject line button. Bob, since this is an interview, please show me the button to make his seat fall out from under him, sending him directly to the garbage chute to hell. Irish Dave wondering, when Klingenschmitt runs, don't we call it dysentery? Yes, and sometimes cholera. But anyway, back to you, chap.
Helped change the law to defend the First Amendment of the Constitution, to restore freedom, not for myself, because that was very costly to me, but I restored freedom for all those other chaplains and people of all faiths. I defended my Jewish sailor, my Muslim sailor. We even had atheists come and teach my Bible study.
I'll bet you did. You notice that? My Jewish sailor, my Muslim sailor. They were his personal possessions, just like it approves of slavery in the Bible. They were his. He had one. He had one Jewish sailor, and he had one Muslim sailor. I don't know what to appeal to. The forces of nature, the goddess of irony, a conveniently located brand new volcano. Please, can we not let this guy into the halls of government? And by the way, don't you love the sappy guitar in the background? Ugh.
So I had a 20-year military career. I think it was a success.
But, except for the getting drummed out part.
But I'm not just limited to that experience. Did you know I'm also a business leader? For the last 6 years.
For the last 6 years, you've been running a business. You've been running a hustle. You've been running a 501c3 doing videos on the interweb tubes asking people to give you Jesus. Let's hear about his business experience. Business. Yeah, he'll give you the business.
I've led, in fact, I've successfully led two corporations that I created. I have a nonprofit charity that I created, and I'm a man of compassion. I care about you and your family, and by the way, you can see that by some of the service that we've done through our charity. Last year I built an orphanage for 94 kids. We've raised money for the Black Forest fire victims right here in Colorado.
And they got how much of the money you raised, chap?
Boulder flood victims. We've raised money for the Haiti earthquake victims and for widows and orphans and mental health victims of sexual abuse.
Wonder who perpetrated the sexual abuse. I mean, you know, just saying.
By the way, I'm not just a business leader, but I have an MBA. Ask the other candidates of their qualifications.
Do you have an MBA like Chappy Klingenschmitt from the MBA University of America on the back of a matchbook? Do you got one of them? Do you?
For advocating for your business, for your financial freedom, your independence as a business owner. I've met payroll. I've had people work for me. I understand what it means to care not just for my own family, but for many people. And I'm also a patent applicant. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an inventor. I don't think the other candidates are able to say that necessarily.
No, they can just say that they have an IQ that's above the freezing point temperature of water, Chappy. And can you say that? No, I don't think you can.
But I not only defend, of course.
Oh, wait, he doesn't have an American flag pin on. A flag pin? A flag pin? No, he doesn't. On his lapel, he has a little crown. A little crown. You know, just like the crown on that margarine box, it looks just like it. You know what that means, of course. King Jesus. He's a theocratic royalist.
Think you can't afford LASIK? Think again.
I don't want it. God, I hate that crap. All you do is roll over it. Can you? No, Jesus. Let's go back to Chappie.
The First Amendment. Not only a business leader, an entrepreneur, I believe in lower taxes, smaller government, less bureaucracy. Give you...
Buzzwords. What? Dog whistles? Well, okay. Coyote... No. Weasel whistles. Wolverines! Smaller government. How small do you want it to get? I mean, small enough to drown in a bathtub, chap? Because we're kind of there. It can't get much smaller and still be government. Why don't you move up to one of those weirdo Colorado counties that want to secede and be part of their little weirdo? I can't take it anymore. Screw you, Chappie. Dr. John noting, let's take stock. He's a bad military man, a Christian, an MBA. Basically, he's part of every big group that's working to screw over America. This isn't a resume. It's a warning sign. Ain't that the truth? In Colorado Springs, answering my conjuring, Kevin notes, Klingon Schmidt? Disease or disaster? Kevin says, first I've heard of this idiot, even in our fine state, much less running for office. I'm not sure where the 15th district is, but I can find out and let you know tomorrow. Oh, and even more than my vote, Mr. Klingenschmidt especially wants mine and everybody else's money as well. By the way, I just signed that petition to get Jim Bob Duggar off the air, him and his 19, or is it 20 kids, off the air for good. Please give that link out a few more times today, as I'd like to see the whole Horn family sign this petition. Until later, Kevin. Uh-oh. Hang on just a second. I've got it right here. It is action.realitycheck.org. No, action.rhrealitycheck.org. And probably just put Duggar, D-U-G-G-A-R, into the search box. Sergi is a little bit taken aback. Announcing a new PhD program. Seriously, a PhD in theology? Just wait till I tell my gaming homies that I can get a PhD. We can all get PhDs in all kinds of imaginary shit. Hoo-wee doggies! Degrees in magic, Grand Theft Auto, and the proper way to sit at the computer desk while you're playing a criminal on APB. Reloaded. For all who qualify. Trademark? Signed, Sergi, I've logged over 10,000 hours gaming. Where's my degree in that? Kyle. Don't know. Under the subject line, toot your horn much? Ron and Raleigh asks, hey, Bob, that's called a diadem. When did this shitheel find time to do all this crap? This soft soap BS may get this guy elected. P.S., and I know what the reference is. P.S., it's a cookbook! Because remember, he wants to serve man. He wants to serve you and your family. You're damned right he does, with an apple stuck in your mouth at Thanksgiving. Aw, thank you. Thank you, Edward. Note just coming in from Edward and Lee in Dallas. Congratulations on your 8th anniversary. Thank you. Thank you both. So, yeah, you see... You see what we're up against tonight in the way... Okay, just a little bit of my... You don't get gems like this every day.
The freedom... By the way, I'm a...
Oh, freedom? Freedom? 27 different kinds of breakfast cereal. By God, that's freedom. Wolverines! Let's go back and make sure nobody's taking him out of context.
Independence. As a business owner, I've met payroll. I've had people work.
He's met payroll, and he's told payroll to take a hike.
For me, I understand what it means to care not just for my own family, but for many people. And I'm also a patent applicant. I'm an
okay. You're a patent fraud, is what you are, buddy. So he knows what it means. Does he offer? You got to wonder. Ask my opponents. Okay, let's ask you, Chappie. Did you provide health care for all those employees? Well, no. We told them we'd pray for them. Yeah, I thought as much.
Entrepreneur. I'm an inventor. I don't think the other candidates are able to say that.
What do you think he ever invented? It's the Bassa Jesus Matic! It's a dessert topping. It's a floor polish. It's both!
Necessarily. But I not only defend, of course, the First Amendment, not only a business leader, an entrepreneur, I believe in lower taxes, small...
But wait, there's more.
...more government, less bureaucracy, give you the freedom... By the way, I'm a strong supporter of Tabor. The freedom to spend your own money instead of sending it up to Denver, where the Democrats and the bureaucrats are spending it hand over fist on their pet projects. No, I want to give it back to your family.
Pet projects? Everybody has to have a cat? What? Teacup pigs for everybody? Pet projects? I don't know. Pet projects that include things like no-kill shelters. I'm kind of behind that. I like pet projects.
No, not only am I a business leader, but I've defended not only the First Amendment, freedom of religion.
Wait, I didn't even back this up, but it's a repeat, isn't it?
Religion, freedom of speech, but also the Second Amendment.
Okay. Sooner or later, he's going to get around to talking about how he doesn't support quartering troops in people's homes.
When I was 16 years old, I earned my NRA Distinguished Expert Marksman badge.
By sending in the box top from a bottle, from a carton of, high caliber, high fiber, fruity cereal? What?
And that was back in the day when they taught guns in school as part of the curricula.
Back in the day when they taught guns in schools as part of the curricula. Curricula? So I'm taking it, Chappie, that you never had Latin? Curriculum? You only get one curriculum at a time? Unless you're going to multiple schools? In which case it's curricula? Or unless you're talking about the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades, there's a curriculum for each, but oh, never mind. Isaac wants to know, what is this guy's name again? This is Gordon Klingenschmidt. Well, we got to get the mop out again. Damn, Klingenschmidt's all over the place. By the way, in case anybody's wondering, one of the things he hasn't mentioned here, but he's a real good buddy of a creep from Alabamistan by the name of Judge Roy Moore. That's the guy who tried to put the giant Ten Commandment rocks in front of the state capitol and got his ass removed from office for being a treasonous prick when he refused to follow the lawful orders of the court system. Nice, huh?
And since then, I've defended the Second Amendment. I will not compromise on gun rights.
That's so good to hear you say in Colorado, where not compromising on gun rights led several people to be massacred in a movie theater in Aurora. You are nothing. You are just one big ball of inspiration, Chappie. Tamara in San Diego says, dog whistles. I just tuned into another dog whistle. Widows and Orphans. Amy Willens, in her book Farewell Fred Voodoo, writes about seeing groups of white disaster tourists coming into Haiti after the earthquake, all in their matching T-shirts, to look after widows and orphans in distress. Catherine Joyce, author of Quiverful and The Child Catchers, writes about this phrase as a buzzword among the quiver illegal adoption crowd who want to bring the little pagan babies to Jesus. By the way, the boyfriend was a study of religions major, a real subject, not, as he will be quick to tell you, a religious studies major. Yeah, those are two different, entirely different topics. A little pushback. Kevin, you're getting a little pushback from Dr. John. Klingon Schmidt, I don't approve of that name. The Klingons were pretty badass. Let's call him Ferengi Schmidt. Oh, now I got to shower in bleach. That's just nasty, John. Ron and Raleigh noting, hey, Bob, just once, I'd like someone to ask one of these tax-cutting assholes how much tax they'd like to pay. What is the right amount, seeing as how we're paying the lowest taxes in 70 years? Don't ask them, Ron. They'll tell you. Because the right amount of tax for them to pay is none. Better yet, they would like to have the government pay them for not paying taxes. I mean, you know, that's a nice racket. Remember when Enron got paid for not paying taxes? Remember when GE got paid for not paying taxes? Oh, yeah, and it looks like Jamie Dimon and his bunch, who have just signed on to a multi-billion dollar fine, are going to turn around and write it off on theirs and get paid for paying a fine. Some catch that catch 22. It's the best there is. Hey, thanks, Jan and Jerry. Jan and Jerry noting, first time listening on Ustream, very clear. Oh, and by the way, there's a different link to vote to cancel the Duggars. Apparently, this is becoming a going concern. www.credomobilize.com/petitions, and then look for TLC cancel 19 kids and counting, or probably just search Duggars. Yeah. This is, you know, Gordon's like a gift that keeps on giving. Just once I wish they'd pan over to the poor little underpaid guitarist who's noodling away in the background.
I was out there block walking for the recent recall election. I was petitions, gathering petitions.
He was petitions? Really?
I was door to door. I was working the phone banks. I was donating. I was putting my heart and soul into the... And thank God we got rid of the Senate President John Morse. And now...
Thank God. God did that. Not the voters. God. Thank God. Oh, by the way, you know how he's a patent applicant? Brother Isaac just did a little work. He said, I just did a U.S. patent search on his name. No hits. Of course there's no hits. He's a Christian, Isaac. That means he's a... Come on, everybody. Liar!
Now, I want to go to Denver to repeal those bad gun-grabbing laws that they announced.
Yeah, you want to make sure that there's more Auroras, more Columbines, more Tucsons, more Virginia Techs, more Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist congregations. Yeah, more, please. Maybe higher caliber into the bargain, right?
Acted last year. Not only do I defend your Second Amendment rights, but I'm pro...
Not only do I offend... Oh, yes, you do. But he's pro... What are you pro?
Oh, life.
Oh, of course he is. This is really catching on. Granny T in Tennessee... Regarding question marks. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Bob? Tuned in late. Who the F is this wonder boy with all these here wondrous accomplishments? Never mind, got it. Someone else asked, and you said Dr. Klingon shit? Is this for real? Okay, changing my occupation to widow and orphan to see if he'll send me a few bucks. Don't hold your breath, Granny T. You'll have beachfront property in Jackson before you get a check.
And any candidate can say they're pro-life, but I've been a leader in the pro-life movement. I've helped mobilize petition campaigns in 5 states, including...
I've shoved fetuses back into wombs!
Colorado. We've informed thousands of pastors through my network and through my organization to stand for the personhood of the unborn.
Oh, he's a personhoodist. One sperm, one egg, get together, little dinner, little dancing, some wine. They decide to subdivide, and it's a person. He's one of those. But we knew that, didn't we?
I don't believe in abortion. I don't believe in exceptions, because...
Yeah, because, you know, you don't believe in the Supreme Court either, apparently. Because, see, Gordon, Chappie, can I call you Chappie? I wouldn't if I could. Laws are not something you believe in. Laws are real. I realize that being in the religion industry, you have a hard time drawing a distinction between reality and fantasy, but you're just going to have to live with this. I don't believe in abortion. We don't care. We live in the reality-based community in a country that is supposedly based upon laws and not upon persons. So whether you... The whole world cannot... You can't live on this planet... Shut up, Bob.
It's personal to me. I was adopted when I was 3 years old.
Abortion is personal to him because he was adopted when he was 3 years old. That's what makes abortion personal. You know, not having ovaries or fallopian tubes or a uterus or a vagina or... No! Being adopted makes abortion personal. Well, I've got a solemn promise to make to you, Chappie. I promise no one will ever force you to have an abortion. No one will ever even ask you to have an abortion. So you can just go ahead not believing in it.
I support single moms, and I support adoptive families.
Wonder how many single moms he supports. Wonder if his wife knows. Don't you? This just in from Isaac via Twitter, at Bob Kincaid. Diagnosis, batshit crazy, raging fundamentalist and nut job and liar for Jesus, too insane to be any real danger. I don't think you can reach that last part. Because, see, here's the fun part. He wants to go to the Colorado State House because he wants to use that for his little springboard to send a message to Washington. Of the love of Christ Jesus and the little snowflake babies.
And that brings me to education.
Oh, God. If the music hasn't just put you into a phone poll... Under the subject line, you're right. This note from Ron and Raleigh. Some venture capitalist on You Know Who's program today put forth the proposition that he should pay no taxes... because his money had already been taxed before he invested it. No capital gains taxes. And I'm sure that was absolutely unchallenged, wasn't it? Hey, thanks, David. Note from David kicking in. He says, hey, Bob, it's David from Lexington, Kentucky. I discovered your program recently and listen every day. I would hate to see you go. Not planning on going anywhere, I hope, as long as y'all do what y'all do, we can do what we do here. And by we, I mean me and the whole all-volunteer staff. Thank you, David. Thank you very much. So that means only 13 more people at $10 a piece, and we're done for the evening. Under the subject line, forever, Darlene asks, how long is this goon cell job, Bob? As long as it takes, no. Lucky you, Darlene, you've only got about 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and he's going to talk about education now. So here's what he wants to do to poor little students in Colorado.
I believe and I support your right for school choice. That's a
That means your right to, I believe in destroying the public school system, school choice. I believe in taking taxpayer dollars and giving it to gospel hustlers to make the instead of, you know, providing public schools for everyone so that we can get them in our little gospel hustle schools and teach them all about how the actual true value of pi is 3 and the sun stands still in the sky and the earth doesn't move around it as a result, and you know, arcs and dinosaurs, not it, oh God.
Fundamental right as a parent to have local control of your kids.
Wait, stop, what? He's obviously reading all of this from a teleprompter. You know, you've heard me from time to time on this program bemoan the absolute demise of editing. He believes in local control of kids. Anybody want to take a run at what that means? Does that mean he's a biblical literalist who wants mouthy kids taken outside the city gates and stoned to death? Do they have city gates in Colorado?
Public school vouchers, private school vouchers, homeschool. Not these common core standards that are coming from Washington, D.C.
Oh, score! The only thing left is Agenda 21 and we're done. Common core standards where we, you know, we want children to be learning things like science and how to formulate a basic halfway decent argument. Common Kenyan core, more like it, huh? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
And I'm not going to compromise on your right to raise your children the way that you should. Do you believe you should?
Okay. Because everybody else is going to compromise on your right to raise your children the way you believe you should. Because it's all over the place out there, right? Sure. Why not?
I've been a faithful husband for 22 years to the only wife of my youth, the only woman in my life.
The only wife of his youth. Is he still in his youth? You know, when you're out there beating the drum on how faithful you've been as a husband, that's when a responsible journalist would get out there with a camera, some video, maybe a shotgun mic or two, and start driving around behind Chappie Klingenschmidt until you catch him in the Walmart parking lot trying to pick up rent boys with a little bag of meth. I know he's getting on your nerves. Danny writing in, I believe that if this asshole doesn't shut the up, I'm going to blow my brains out. What a Christian pork effer. All that and then some. But good news, Danny. Only 2 minutes and 44 seconds left. All we got to do now is find out if he works Agenda 21 in. Or the birth certificate.
And I'm sure we'll be married another 50 years, right?
Right,
but I care about family. Family is important to me, and your family is important to me. And I'm asking for your vote.
Your family is important to me. Very, very important. Does your family like candy?
I'm asking for your vote, and I'm asking you to hire me for this job, because yes, these other guys, they're young. They're full of vinegar. They have...
Full of vinegar. No piss. All these other guys. Because in the sexist, paternalistic, patrician world of Gordon Klingenschmidt... Oh, brother. That'll take a couple of sponges. Women need not apply for that job, right? I mean, because, you know, they've got those lady parts and that... That takes up all the room that they'd otherwise have for brains. Right? Gordon? Right?
Other ideas about the way things ought to be, but I'm experienced.
Not at government, you're not. Not at being anything but a theocratic horse's ass, you're not. Not at being something besides a 501c3 preaching politics from the pulpit hustler, you're not. Not at being anything except maybe a flagrant violator of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, you're not.
And I believe I'm the most qualified person for this job.
There he goes believing again.
Would you stand with me? Would you caucus with me? Would you?
I wouldn't caucus with you with somebody else's caucus, okay? Darlene, with an OMG email. Did he just say they're full of vinegar? That's hysterical. No, he's hysterical. Irish Dave, to serve people? Is long pig kosher? No gates in Denver, says Irish Dave, though there are plenty of gated communities in the burbs. Aye, aye. No, Isaac. Not C-O-C-K hyphen U-S. Not cock us. Caucus. Although that may be the Latin form. Who the hell do I know?
You vote with me, especially on March 4th, I need you to run for delegate. And March 29th, I need you to stand with me in the county assembly. Gordon Klingenschmidt is my name.
His name is my name, too. Oh, my God, he said that. My name is John Jacob Gordon Klingenschmidt. When I walk down the street, all the people I meet, they say, hey, what's your name? I say, oh, yeah.
Please visit our website, gordonforcolorado.com.
No, we're not gonna.
And on that website, there's three ways that you can get involved. I want you to first subscribe to our emails.
No.
And then volunteer. Maybe just host a coffee or put a yard sign.
No.
And then we need your donations.
Oh! You knew it, didn't you? The hustle. The hustle. There it is. We need your donations.
I cannot run this campaign without your support. I'm not a wealthy man.
But I thought you'd run all those businesses, and you had you an MBA, and you're a post-hole digger, and you got patent applications, and you're an inventor, and you've got the universal solvent, and you... You know, that's how you get rich and stay rich, is by spending other people's money. Ron and Raleigh with a flashback for us. Hey, Bob, remember when George H.W. Poppy Bush said that Slappy Thomas was the most qualified jurist to replace Thurgood Marshall? Sadly, I do. I guess this is that, isn't it? Okay, so we are now 30 seconds away from the end of our long prayer meeting nightmare. What's the blow-off?
But I pray that you will stand with me every way that you feel led, that you can possibly contribute, because this is a team effort. We're going to take back Denver. We're going to take back the State House.
From whom? The people who democratically elected the residents, the representatives in the State House and in Denver? Sounds rather a bit like a coup. It sounds a little bit like treason, Gordon.
And we're going to establish individual liberty and freedom. I stand for freedom.
As long as it's the freedom that he declares, and as long as it's the individual liberty of which he approves. Because you can bet, ladies with lady parts, that, well, you don't have no individual liberty over the workings of your own body, you know? That's his liberty. His freedom. You know, because Wolverine Jesus! Say goodbye.
And I will fight for you. My name is Gordon Klingenschmidt, and I'm asking for your vote. God bless you.
Shoot the piano player. don't shoot the piano player. His sainted mother thinks he's playing piano in a whorehouse. Under the simple rubric, he's crazy. Isaac directs us to, and this is usually a pretty good read, almost always. Isaac directs us to a post at Science Blogs. Yes, Irish Dave, we know the West wasn't one with a registered Wolverine. Yes. Ed Brayton writing at Science Blogs. Yes, the same publicity hound former chaplain who has been continually dissembling about why he was removed from his position as a chaplain by the Pentagon. He's a typical religious right persecution poser. That's a good phrase. Whose story is based on distortions and falsehoods, and he's hopping mad about that Hindu prayer in the Senate. This goes back to July 17, 2007. Hopping mad. Predictably, his claims are just full of lies, beginning with the very first sentence. I personally sat in the Senate gallery witnessing history when a Hindu chaplain prayed to earth and to sky and spirits on the floor of the U.S. Senate Thursday. Ed Brayton pointing out back in 2007, no, you didn't. You may have sat there, but the Hindu chaplain did not pray to any of those things. Here's the full text of the prayer. Let us pray. We meditate on the transcendental glory of the Deity Supreme, who is inside the heart of the earth, inside the life of the sky, and inside the soul of heaven. May he stimulate and illuminate our minds. Lead us from the unreal to real, from darkness to light, and from death to immortality. May we be protected together. May we be nourished together. May we work together with great vigor. May our study be enlightening. At which point, I guess, Chappie Gordon stood up and screamed, in Jesus' name! So, yeah, he's a live one. But speaking of persecution posers, You know what Representative Alan Grayson recently said, right? He said of the teabaggers, well, he compared them to the Klan. And then the teabaggers had a hissy. They, of course, sent out a fundraising letter saying, we have been under constant attack by the slanderous rhetoric of the Democrats and mainstream media. We are simply patriotic Americans. They are simple. That are concerned with the out-of-control federal budget and the expansion and intrusiveness of the government. Yet we are called bigots, terrorists, anarchists, and the list goes on. You know that the efforts of Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and other conservatives are working when the left resorts to such violent, hateful smears. Because Alan Grayson said, hey, if the hood fits, wear it. True, true, and I repeat, true. Everybody's getting in on the act. Dr. John, is that a Wolverine in your pocket, or are you just happy to see Jesus? Mercy. Gordon Klingenschmidt. Hey, let's run to the phones. 304-658-3333 is the number. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jeremy, what's happening?
Oh, I had another slight running with a walk among us again today.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was fun.
Do tell.
I will. I'm going to take up headphones. Here, 1 second. Okay, that's better.
Yeah, nice.
Well, it's the same government friend of mine that works for the government and beats on it constantly. So his latest gripe is that the healthcare website doesn't work for the government just perfectly yet. So I simply put in a single sentence that said, I find it ironic that the site was built by the private sector. And of course that sent him into a frenzy of, you leftists always blame someone else, can never accept your personal responsibility, it's never your fault, it's always someone else's fault. I didn't respond back because I'm done talking to these knuckle draggers.
Well, and not only was this thing built by the private sector, Isaac informed me it was built by one of my favorite members of the private sector.
Who is that?
Care to guess? you know that gang of F-ups who couldn't keep security going for certain NSA spying programs? Who gave access to vast quantities of supposedly sensitive national security information to a certain Edward Snowden? Yeah, that's right. Booz Allen Hamilton had a big hand in the design and rollout of the healthcare.gov Affordable Care Act sign-up website. Why am I not
right.
surprised this thing? Yeah, you're probably lucky that it doesn't just grab all your financial information and send it to some Nigerian heiress.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff sends me when people just lurch into all these talking points they're given. Just it's always you guys can't accept responsibility, and I'm brought to mind of thoughts of like the Iraq War and weapons of mass destruction, and well, they're going to be somewhere. They're not here. They're not there. They're not at that table. They're somewhere else. That's the biggest form of not being able to accept responsibility I've ever seen in my life. To this day. And then that dirty frickin' interview that 60 Minutes did this week with Dick Cheney just about sent me, it almost made me want to stop watching 60 Minutes altogether.
That would pretty well put me off my kibble for a month of Sundays.
I struggled through it because it made him out to be like the miracle wonder medical boy of the 20th century, how every time his life's about to frickin' end, something came along and saved his ass. Usually something involves his money, which has been made in various bloodshed events. But it was just... And I mean, the whole time they asked... I think in the end, Steve Croft asked him, basically, if you could go back and do things again, would you change a thing? He said, not a thing. He said, I'm perfectly fine with what we did. He didn't go into the weapons of mass destruction rant, but Steve Croft tried to... I forget what exactly happened, but Steve Croft tried to turn the interview to something else. And Dickless basically said, no, you listen to me. I'll tell you how it is. And Steve Croft bowed down to him like it was the altar or something.
Knee pads involved?
Basically, Steve Croft was after him for something, and he didn't want to answer it. He said, you listen to me. This is how it is. And he did it.
Jesus.
So, at some point, I just need to stop talking to some of these people because they're going to drive me up the wall because they don't have any common sense. And what they do is, and this one guy in particular claims he's a Democrat, never voted for Republican in his life, but everything he spouts has Tea Party written all over it, which is really, really something odd to me, that you can go from being a Democrat, supposedly, to a Tea Partier.
Right.
I realize that a Tea Partier went from a Tea Partier to basically... a leftist that Judge did this week, that was pretty neat.
Well, I mean, you can... As he said, and we're talking about the Texas judge who became a Democrat so as to, among other things, support Wendy Davis, he turned an old phrase on its head. I don't know if you're old enough, Jeremy, and that's not me talking down, to recognize this for what it is. Back when all those Southern Democrats were abandoning the party to go and vote for that greasy-headed old B-movie actor, they said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. And so, right. Lo and behold, the Texas judge who became a Democrat said, "I didn't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left me." And that, you know, that just burns them. That burns them like hemorrhoids exposed to air.
I'm sure I've heard that statement before, and I'm just barely old enough that I can remember some of Reagan, just little bits and pieces of his greatest hits. The best Reagan I've ever seen, though, is Steve Hartman doing Reagan. That was the best ever.
I don't know if I recall that.
It was Saturday Night Live. And
Phil Hartman?
No, sorry, Phil Hartman. I'm
okay, Hartman. Yeah.
Yes, Phil Hartman, yes. And the skit with, like, when he's in there in the war room planning with all these people, and they look at him and say, "Dear President, you're 3 o'clock photo op with the Girl Scouts of America's here." He's like, "God damn it, I hate this." It switched into the old, you know, "Well, little girl," and did that whole thing with him and played the whole greasy haired bit. And as soon as he was done with the Girl Scouts and disappears, like, "Back to work." And that's all I've ever thought of Reagan as, something like that. But we all know that he probably was.
Well, have you ever read Peggy Noonan fetishizing about his feet?
No.
Oh, that's one for the ages. Just one of these days, just put a search phrase into your favorite search engine and put Peggy Noonan Reagan's feet. I would advise installing the tennis ball first.
Was he obsessed with his feet, I'm guessing, or something like that?
No, she's obsessed with his feet.
Oh, that's even weirder. Okay.
It's Peggy Noonan. I mean, she's the Nooner.
It's new. But, and then Klingenschmidt there, his little rambling on that lasted like 4 hours. He's a real treat every time you play him, no matter what he says.
Oh, he's a gifted guy. And I know it's probably not the best idea in the world to give these goobers so much time, but how can, if you're as serious as I am, Jeremy, about trying to point out what these goons have planned for you and me, then it's beyond, it's not just a matter of making fun of these goobers, it's the reality of, it's the reality of recognizing they're not kidding. I mean, they have plans for a theocracy out there that includes things like stoning disobedient children, just like the Bible says to do.
And I'm sure they do. I'm sure that Jim Bob would follow right along with those teachings.
Well, as long as he doesn't get tied.
Yeah. I was really happy to hear that there's a couple different movements went up against that a-hole. I'm glad. It's about time. I've sat back quietly. Like I said, my girlfriend's not a fan, more of, I think, a morbid curiosity, more than, like, she's not religious or anything, so she doesn't buy any of that stuff. But I have sat back waiting for people like this. Usually, if you give them enough rope, will hang themselves eventually. And I'm hoping he does this to his whole entire franchise, which is his show on TV.
Oh, by the way, just a note coming in for you from Randy in PA. He says, Ring of Fire is on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday on WCPT Chicago on iTunes, the same time as 60 Minutes. Guess which one I choose? So, yeah, there's always an antidote.
Yeah, there is. I sat through it and tried to bite my tongue off the whole time, but I just wanted to yell through the phone and get a response back, and of course that won't go anywhere with them.
I understand.
But I'll get off to let Smoke talk since it's limited time now.
Yeah, I didn't mean to filibuster so long. My apologies, Jeremy.
No problem. It's cool. Glad to hear it.
All right, you take care and have a good evening.
You too, thanks.
All right, bye now. Jeremy calling from Vermont. 304-658-3333 is the prayer meeting Wednesday number if you want to testify. And you can always reach on the Skype line, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. BobKincaidHorn on Skype. We are looking for 13 folks with $10 apiece to help us complete fundraising for this evening. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
That's me again.
Hey, Bill, what's happening?
Not much. I just I heard the guy you were talking about was complaining about taxes. He was on with Hartman. And Hartman politely made a fool out of the guy, but like Tom's biggest problem, he never gets nasty with these people. Me, if I was talking to him, the guy'd be yakking at me, and there'd be that fist coming out of the phone, you know, and I scream.
Well, yeah, you know where I go with that, and I know you, you're an appreciator of the classic Looney Tunes animated. Yeah. You know when Bugs holds up the one placard with the screw on it, and then he holds up another one with a ball?
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw. Ball.
Yeah, you can't win with these people. And that Klingenschmidt, man, you were handing me all these puns, Bob. I couldn't have...
Yeah. Like I said, he's a gift that keeps on giving, Bill.
Oh, God. To think that people would vote for this fool? Well, after all, and Reagan, Tom used to play a few cuts of Reagan doing commercials for the Democratic Party in the late 40s. And they were classics, too, to hear his mouth going and saying.
Well, you know when he turned, right?
Well, it's with his wife, no doubt, money.
No. Beyond that, back in the day, and I think it was Eddie Albert who chronicled this, because Eddie Albert was a really decent human being from everything I've read.
Well, he's a decent actor in a certain overall.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, his supporting role as the photojournalist in Roman Holiday, behind, you know, working alongside Gregory Peck and Audrey Hepburn, he was magnificent. He was wonderful. You know, just that perfect timing, that light comic touch. And I consider him a philosopher of tremendous weight, just for what he did with Green Acres.
Yeah.
But he was a member of the Communist Party in Hollywood in the 1930s.
Yeah, which a lot of people were.
Right. Well, Ronnie Reagan tried to join up, and all the Hollywood communists said, "Him? No, I refuse to be a communist if he's going to be a communist."
Oh my God! He was that.
And Reagan, and from that day forward, Reagan became a bilious, vile, rabid anti-communist. He became an anti-communist because they wouldn't let him be one.
Oh jeez! I mean that was so common that, you know, that in the 30s, Jesus! I mean, Jesus might have been one too. When you look at his teaching, he might have been a good communist himself. Now, I loved it when what's his name, Jap got hit 100, the guy who beat the French and the Americans in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he didn't like what he was seeing, and boy, they couldn't ostracize the old guy too much, but they tried. Because after all, he was, you know, I suppose in the Vietnamese position, money coming in is better than starvation, but... I learned something in one of the World War things that World War II things. The Japanese came into Vietnam when the French were still there. They let the French hang out and hold their jobs, the Vichy, you know. But the Japanese came in and demanded that the Vietnamese start producing products that would help serve the empire, which cost a lot of lives, starvation and hunger. So it's, you know, party to labels. Sometimes mean something, sometimes they don't. What they do, Bob, is what the result is. That's what they do. I don't care, because let's face it, the Republicans want you to believe they're the biggest patriots that ever waved a flag in their life. And, you know, some of them might have been good Americans and took their marching orders and went out and got shot at for something that they shouldn't have been. You know, it still didn't take away from their courage that they did it to begin with. It made them, but it was probably, it could have been the wrong thing from the standpoint of, and probably was, you know, because I'm a believer in letting people have their own form of government if it keeps within their own.
Well, I think you're enough of a, well, no, you're not enough of one. You just are one. You're a decent human being, Bill, and consequently, you understand. It's the essential truth that people need to be able to determine what it is that they want to live, and not have it imposed on them from the muzzle of a gun by somebody 8,000 miles away.
And the French went in there, what, in 1870-something, around 1870, they went into so-called Indochina at that time. And, you know, set up their own... They say I buy Café Du Monde coffee and chicory from a Vietnamese delicatessen. That's like, well, this, I guess this is one world in many ways, like the choice of coffee or something. But, you know, the Wolverine thing, are you familiar with the name James Ellroy?
Oh, yes.
Okay, was that L.A. Confidential that I'm thinking of?
That's one of them, yeah. I think the Black Dahlia was another.
Well, I think the Wolverine situation shows up in one.
I'm not sure about that, but you know, in our context, it comes from the truly god awful movie Red Dawn.
But I was thinking about that because in the book there was a situation where the Wolverine was talked about because of something that went on during the book, but they're nasty critters. That's one thing they are.
Oh yeah, they are.
You know, I'm talking with hunters and outdoorsmen, and I enjoyed the hell out of fishing, but those guys knew stuff that I didn't know. I was too old to start learning how to, and I don't think I want to trap animals and that kind of stuff isn't my, or even hunting.
Well, it's funny the way the universe works, Bill, because it just so happened that after the program last night, I was clicking around, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I lit on, I guess it was the National Geographic Channel, and it was some program about, no, it was a show, about people who live above the Arctic Circle in Alaska.
Yeah, that's...
And I guess there's, you know, it's kind of interesting just to see, A, who would want to, B, how do they do it? And there was this one woman who very much loved animals, and she lived 200 miles south of the Arctic Circle. And just in one of those Goddess of Irony moments, there was a segment with her putting on her Tyvek white snowsuit to sneak up and try to kill a wolverine because it was coming around, you know, hunting the other animals that she fed and took care of, their, you know, little foxes and things like that. And I thought, well, I'll be damned. Wolverines.
Yeah, they're not well-liked by the way they are. Now, the guy that owned this amusement park in Cleveland, which is right inside the city, this old Euclid Beach Park, he brought in, there's still tons of skunks over there because the skunk was really good at cleaning up the ground of the amusement parks, and they were a rat's natural enemy. The rats and them do not get along.
No.
So he got, hell, they'd be wandering around there in broad daylight with an amusement park full of people and not squirting anybody, not running away from anybody. They were so used to people, it was kind of a funny thing. And
well, there are people out there who keep skunks.
Yeah, yeah, true. I did some security out there at night, and they were, they try to get you to give them food and stuff. They were real little beggars, those squirrels. But I'll let somebody else on here. I'll leave you with a thing my daughter sent me from a book of tombstone epitaph. Here lies Lester Moore, shot to death with a .44, no less, no more. That's my daughter. I don't know where she inherited that sense of humor.
Oh, me either.
Nah. Anyway, I'm just glad to have you on. We'll listen tomorrow night, and thank God for the help. Oh, God, that guy again. Thank that mystical being that if he exists, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, flying spaghetti monster, pick one.
Yeah, a lady, whatever. Well, I used to have a saying, I met God on many occasions, she was something else. Anyhow, I will see you.
All right. Take care, Bill.
Good night.
Bye now. Mr. Stress, Bill calling from Cleveland. Onward. 304-658-3333, the number if you want to jump in. We got about an hour left in prayer meeting Wednesday. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Jim.
No, I just wanted to tell you, I had this dream last night.
Yeah?
About Ronald Reagan.
That's not a dream, Jim. That's a nightmare.
No, I mean, no. He was real nice, and we were taking an exam together, and I was cheating off of his paper.
Did you get graded?
Well, everything sort of upended itself, and Nancy came in, and she was talking about her new house or something like that with a beauty parlor.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
And the night before, I had this dream that, you know, it's a real dream, and it was like I was just right there back in Air Force jungle survival training. And then they put us on this train, and we were going across this track, but the track was across the river, and the rails were completely covered by water, but the train kept going.
Wow. That's, that's not necessarily my bailiwick, but what do you make of it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not much of the interpretation of dreams and things like that, but it was really real. I mean, honestly, truly, it was just, I didn't know what to make of it either, to tell you the truth. And then I awoke and reached for the carafe of water by my bed, and then, luckily, Big Cat was up there next to me, so I put him right next to me on the pillow, and we went back into La La Land.
Jim, did you happen to watch the local news last night?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. I'm glad I didn't, probably.
I'm gonna go ahead because I know you are such a devoted lover of animals, and that's not to say I'm not. I am, but I mean you hold them in special reverence.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
And I was shocked and horrified because this story happened about 2 miles from where I live, and it is almost too sickening to describe. But I thought of you because I did not email this to you because I wanted it to be a personal conversation, not just some impersonal link. There's this asshole who lives out the road from me, and apparently he got himself right liquored up and started complaining to his spouse about her cats.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You put a dozen of them in a box and threw them in a fire.
That doesn't surprise me at all. There are a lot of people who are like that.
Yeah, they are, but I guess the reason I mention it to you, Jim, one, it was horrifying insofar as it, you know, it happened in what passes for my community.
All right.
It was disgusting because, well, it's a disgusting thing to do.
There's just a lot of sick people out there. I mean, who are really sick.
But I mean, does this say something about the benighted nature of where we live, Jim, or is this just, well, it could happen anywhere? Because I have a hard time imagining this happening in, say, Oregon, or California or Massachusetts, or I'm sure these things do, but it just felt like, you know, why here, and why at all?
How in the world did that get on the news?
Well, because the woman, the wife,
called the police,
and they came and arrested him on animal cruelty charges. And bless his heart, the responding state trooper, you know, there's a lot of negative information out there, plenty of bad stories about cops being bad, but the responding state trooper personally took time to dig a hole and bury the remains, which I thought was decent. But they had the woman on there crying, and I mean, you could tell she was just horrified.
Well, if I'd been the state trooper, I would have taken a hole and buried him.
That's
exactly what my first impulse would have been. You know, I believe if I came up on a scene like that and if I were carrying my sidearm, I would shoot the guy. I would not think one thing about it. Because the world, that will be the world being minus one monster like that.
That just
doesn't bother me at all. Hell, I shot people before. I could shoot him. Wouldn't bother me.
I just, you know, I saw that. I just sort of watched that story through the through my hand over my eyes through the, you know, little crack between my fingers.
Well, I'd have to have turned it off. I really would, because that would have been something else for my mind to dwell with when I was trying to sleep. You know, I'm glad I didn't see that. But like I say, if I had been in that situation, and to tell you the truth, I know I could have shot this man with no problem.
But what I'm asking though, Jim, is that a reflection of the culture, or is that just a one off?
Oh no, I mean you hear stories about people who take newly born kittens and put them in a bag and throw them with a rock in a lake or something like that. I don't know. It's just these people are you know, totally beyond my scope of recognition. I don't want to even recognize that they exist, but I know what I would do if I caught somebody doing something like that. They would never do it again.
Well, Jan and Jerry, writing from Nevada, saying the man is a bully and has probably been a bully his entire life.
Probably.
His poor wife and kids, if he has them.
Well, probably, you know, plus he was drunk and probably underendowed and frustrated about this, that, and the other. But I'm not going to try to even explain why he did that. I wouldn't have even asked for an explanation. If I had arrived on the scene and saw him doing that, I would have killed him. That's all there is to it. And it wouldn't have bothered me one bit to have blown his ass right into hell.
Well, I can't say. I'm not going to dispute over that.
Well, I mean, you know, well, Bob, once you... Well, never mind. But once
no,
you,
I know.
But nonetheless, you know, people like that, as far as I'm concerned, have lost their right to live.
Because it's just cruelty for cruelty's sake.
Exactly. They have no place on this planet. They have no place on this earth.
When you go to a place like that, Jim, you kind of give up any claim to a common humanity, don't you?
Exactly. I would have had no more mercy on this guy than I would have if I'd come into Belsenbergen, Auschwitz, or whatever, and caught some of the people who were staffing those places. I wouldn't have even said one word to them. I would have taken one look at their uniform, and they would have been gone.
You know, Irish Dave has a comment here by email, and he says, abuse of animals is sadly commonplace in the Third World. And I think we kind of have to, well, it sort of ties into what we were talking about last night. We can know places like Appalachia cannot be considered to be, you know, a part of the First World.
No, they're not really.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, I mean, I make my little jokes and everything about broadcasting from behind the cornbread curtain, but this, where you and I live, Jim, is not America as a whole bunch of America understands America, is it?
No. I think it's the exception to America. I hope it is, nonetheless. But I don't know what to say about people who get their jollies by being cruel, something that basically can only accept the treatment meted out to them by these people. I mean, I don't know what kind of kick they can get out of it. And I think they would probably show the same type of compassion and humanity to their fellow man, too, to tell you the truth. I think there's something deeply flawed in their character. And as far as my personal solution to things like that are concerned, I would just, you know, eliminate them completely. I'd have no problem with it. And I say that on the air, and I hope they're listening.
Well, I have, I know for a fact they're not, but I'm wondering, you know, I've been looking all day trying to find out if the rotten bastard bonded out.
Probably did. What is it, 30 days in jail, something like that?
I think it's worse now. I think that law, animal cruelty, has been upped a little bit.
Well, I hope it is, and I hope it will continue to be upped. Because I know I deal. I mean, I'm having cat trouble right now with fleas. I've never had fleas before in my life. And one of the people I know who comes to visit works for a no-kill shelter and stuff like that. And I'm sure they probably brought some fleas in here. But God knows I gave Rupert one of these pills called Cadex, and he was just going crazy. Because, you know, I've never had fleas before. We just don't run that kind of house here. And so it was a real battle part of last night until that stuff, that this pill will kill them. And apparently when it takes effect, they're trying to dig in and have their dinner, and what they're getting is something that kills them, and they're hurting him. And I was up at 3 o'clock this morning.
Oh, damn.
So, I mean, for all those people around wherever we've had similar climate conditions, watch out for fleas there. They can be really nasty and really ugly, and they carry all kinds of bad things. But,
No, you don't want to fool around with that.
No, you don't. Not really. Uh-uh. That's just really dangerous, because you remember the role they played in the Black Death and all that.
Oh, yeah, and God, when they get hold of you, all you want is to be rid of them.
Yeah, and then, you know, you can use different types of things that you can put on their back, you know, that will kill them. But you can only use Advantage and stuff like that. But you can only use it once a month because it'll kill the animal because it's real powerful disinfectant or whatever. But it takes a lot of responsibility and a lot of care and a lot of love and kindness and understanding to live with your four-footed friend sometimes when they get into a bad way. And when you lose them, it's just as real as if losing a member of the family, if not more so.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. And, you know, as that love crowns you, as so does it crucify you when eventually you will outlive your four-footed friend who's always there for you, who can only take what you give him.
Well, you know, Ron and Raleigh just wrote in, and he said, you know, Bob, I'm a cat guy, but I also like dogs. I've over my lifetime found that people are either fearful of cats or hate them. People will abandon dogs but will not wantonly kill them. However, I've been regaled with stories of cat killing.
I don't understand that. I mean, there are actual people whom I have heard or used to hear that a cat will steal a baby's breath.
Oh, that's an old one. Yeah, you can't let a cat around the baby.
And where these stories come from, I don't know.
Well, they come from, I think your question is a serious one. And among other things, they have their origins in, what was it called? Something Maleficorum?
The Malleus Maleficorum, in which they were witches used them as their familiars.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know it probably sounds overly sentimental on my part, but, you know, I saw that story and I just ran to our cat and just, you know, kind of petted her a little bit, just
well,
to, you know.
That's what they need. And, you know, they're very sensitive, and believe you me, they are more sensitive than we'll ever know, particularly cats, for example. I think their brain is a lot different than a dog's.
Oh, I think it, well, it's, I mean,
that's the reason they use them to dissect them when the people are in medical school. It's because of the structure, I think, of the cat brain. At least that's what I've been told by members of my family who are physicians. And, you know, I don't know. Their CNS is just, their central nervous system is just very complex and extremely, high.
Well, as compared to a dog, I think there's something otherworldly about them, Jim.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't mean like, you know, witches and spooks and
no, they're
you just know that you are in close personal contact with a life form that is radic, because we can sort of recognize a kind of human quality in a dog, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know.
But in a cat, you're in a completely different kind of relationship.
Exactly.
But we got a lot of soft hearts around here. A lot of times of an evening after the program's over, I'll make a run down to the little convenience store just to, you know, get a late night snack or something like that. I went down there the other night, and there were two lovely dogs down there, and they'd just been turned loose, and they were obviously domestic pets.
Oh yeah, people do that all the time.
And one of them was looked like a German Shepherd mix of some sort, maybe a Collie German Shepherd mix because of the long kind of pointy snout.
Mm-hmm.
And she was either old and lame or hurt, and she spent most of her time laying down. But if you walked over to pet her, her buddy, who was this kind of boxer-looking mix, solid black with white socks, he wasn't being hateful or anything because he was as friendly as the day is long, but he would walk over and stand over her. And when you went to pet her, he would nuzzle her too. And I came home and told Agnes about it, and I took a picture of him. She said, "Turn around, go back, get him right now." I said, "Honey, we can't do that." But...
Well, I can understand her
reaction. Oh, well, I had the same reaction. I mean, I looked across the street to Dollar General, but it was already closed. I was going to go buy a 25-pound bag of dog food.
Well,
because I figured maybe they'd at least stay safe if we put out the dog food for them and not go out in the road.
Well, you know, I have adopted many a feral cat, and let's see. Yeah, people have a habit of leaving them, and since I've been here, I've adopted like 36 and got them home.
Wow.
And that takes a lot of doing, let me tell you, particularly dealing with people coming into your house.
And of course, you know, here in the rural wilds of Fayette County, we don't have any leash laws or anything like that, so it's nothing to have, you know, four or five dogs wandering around, and basically... where, like, trash pickup is concerned, it's kind of a game where you wait until the last possible moment, like you see the garbage truck coming up the road and you start hustling your bags of garbage out. Because if you put them out the night before, they'll be scattered from Dan to Bathsheba because of the roving dogs. And, of course, a lot of the towns, I've heard, you know, Huntington, Charleston, have terrible coyote problems now. Just wandering the city streets.
Well, it's because they've been displaced. I think in many situations, their natural, you know, feeding and hunting grounds have been displaced. And when you do that, you have these animals coming in that didn't. And this includes bears and all types of other critters. And you know, whenever a man moves into a place where they live, and these, you know, they have their natural habitat, then when you disturb that habitat, you're going to have incursions into your own. And it's something that people need to realize, and, you know, but they don't. And they never will and never have. And unfortunately, the animal has to suffer. And the animal's done nothing wrong, broken no law.
No. Irish Dave just pointed something out, Jim, and I think you'll appreciate this. He said, "The ancient Egyptians believed cats were gods. Cats never forgot that."
Absolutely. That's Step, the goddess of the household. As a matter of fact, I have a huge bronze statue of that same goddess of the ancient Egyptians. I'm looking at it right now. And in ancient Egypt, if you were found, well, abusing or hurting a cat, you could suffer a number of penalties, including blindness, being blinded, they had strict laws against that. But then again, they've gone into these places in Egypt where they've found just hundreds and hundreds of mummified cats, and when they've x-rayed them, they had their necks broken.
Sacrificed.
I guess so. So it's sort of an ambivalent thing. I don't, I, I don't know, the cat goddess Bastet was the goddess of the household and was extremely powerful deity in the Egyptian pantheon. And cats.
Yeah, weren't when Elizabeth Taylor played Cleopatra, weren't there scenes of her with a cat on her lap or something?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean they always. I mean all these epics of you know of ancient times, for example. I just saw Quo Vadis the other day, and Nero's wife had this big cheetah on a leash, which would be, I think her name was Poppaea.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
Well, and of course, I mean, and this is real history, and it took some daggum doing for him to do it, but Mark Antony was a bit of a maniac, and at one point in time, he was putting on his Hercules act and had his chariot drawn through Rome by lions.
Wow. Yeah, that's an accomplishment.
When you can... You're doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. My Lord in heaven. Oh, Lord. I have.
I don't know.
As far as the Roman Empire is concerned, how these people could enjoy, I think on the day that they opened the. Colosseum. I think Trajan started it, somebody else finished. Suetone, somebody. From that, like 6,000 animals sacrificed, killed, and I would think I don't think I would have been a good citizen to have gone to the theater and to have sat and watched it like that.
Oh, you just got a note in from E.T. in Tennessee. Should it, if it's any consolation, sure the officer did make that action. He just. When I worked Texas Department of Criminal Justice, I had that impulse several times in certain situations. But in the real world, you have to keep your personal feelings out of it and just do your job. But yes, sure can relate. And she says, good thoughts to all, Granny T.
Well, in my case, I probably would have put in place a throwdown weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way I feel. I feel real strongly about that.
And Dan just wrote in and he said, I'm a cat lover, and my 16-year-old buddy Merlin is dying. I was horrified by your story about the burned cats. There are terrible people everywhere who do sadistic things to animals. Often, it is a sign of potential crimes against people. The myth about cats stealing a baby's breath may be based on some truth. A loving cat will often lie on one's chest. Certainly, there's no ill intent, but the big cat could be affectionate with the baby and could suffocate the infant. But he says, keep on loving animals, Jim, and you too, Bob.
Well, my condolences to your friend there. I've been through that. And it's not an easy thing to do when you have to finally make that decision to have them injected.
Well, I guess we're weird here, Jim. We face that decision.
Yeah.
And we came to the conclusion that the life was not ours to take. And so we comforted, and this was our 16-year-old yellow lab, Miranda. And we comforted her and took care of her and held her head in our laps and you know, just tried to make her as comfortable as possible until she passed naturally.
Well, the reason, you know, the vet told me that the cat was in, you know, the cat was in pain and had cancer and was not living a very good life, and it would be the most humane thing to do.
Right.
And of course, I would never do that on myself, but on my own. But when a veterinarian tells you, you know, you've got a problem here, and if you want to prolong the agony, that's fine. But if you want to be the most merciful, then you do this. And I can understand that too. So it's not a good thing to do. It's not a pleasant thing to do, and it really almost kills you. It wrenches your spirit. But nonetheless, you have to do what you have to do. And,
well, you heard about the guy who took his beloved dog to the vet. Vet was ailing, or the dog was ailing, and they put the dog up on the table, and the vet examined him, and all of a sudden, and then he brought in a cat, and the cat walked all over the dog, and all of a sudden, the dog perked up, jumped up, and seemed just fine. Vet said that'll be $100. Guy looked at him and said, $100, what for? He says, well, $10 was for my examination. The other 90 was for the CAT scan.
Well, it's amazing. You know, I sometimes really believe that they have certain types of power that we don't understand, nor will we ever. The ancient Egyptians, I think, may have understood it. And it's been lost to antiquity.
You know, it's strange. I didn't mean to necessarily raise such a profound line of conversation, but you'd be surprised the number of people writing in that are just touched at the, well, horrified by the story, but sharing a common bond of the love of the four-legged that have been in their lives. And so that's a beautiful thing, Jim.
Well, you know, it's an old song I've heard. Your four-legged friend, he'll never let you down. Your four-legged friend, he's there to the end. And it goes on and on and on. But basically it expresses the love and devotion they have to you. And the obligation we have to take care of them as they try to take care of us in their own way. They were put here for a particular reason. And, you know, like I told you before, I really believe, and you may think I'm crazy for saying this, but I really believe they're angels.
Well, I think we have much to learn.
And, you know, one day I believe, you know, there's this poem that you can look up on the internet called The Rainbow Bridge. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful poem. Or it's not a poem, but a chronicle narrative of one day when you pass into the next world, they will greet you.
Now, I like what Mark Twain said. You know, he was a cat man. And he said, if heaven gained by merit instead of grace, our pets would enter and we would remain outside.
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I really do. And, you know, people who are like that, unfortunately, they're the kinds of people who will go on to exhibit the same type of behavior with fellow human beings. And,
well, and no detail, but this guy is not exactly stellar. Member of the community.
I
guess you could say he is either, depending on which metaphor one prefers, he is either a Snopes or a Ewell.
Well, he would have been a former denizen of this planet if I had arrived on that situation. I really would. And I believe that I would have been justified in doing so and would have not turned one hair about that. It wouldn't have bothered me one bit. I just want to buy that type of... I've seen a lot of cruelty in this world, and I'll tell you one thing. There are certain things that I will not abide. And I guess I've become, in a way, as far as human beings are concerned, sort of case-hardened to it. And I just really believe that, you know, there are certain people who go beyond the realm of human decency. And
well, certain people who abandon their humanity.
Well, then they need to abandon their life. They have no place here. In my estimation, in my world, they have no place.
But in the larger human scope of it, Jim, if there is a larger question to be asked out of that about human nature, you know, somebody made that person that way. Some other humans made that person that way.
Possibly.
And you know, and the question of, you know, how do you break a cycle like that? Well, you
break it by, I'm afraid, by terminating that individual's life, basically, if that's what you have, because God only knows what they would do to anything else the next time he got drunk. It could have been his own children.
I'm sure it was not the first time he'd been, I mean, it to watch the video report and see the woman crying, you know it.
Oh, that's just horrible. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just incredible. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these people don't even qualify as members of the human race.
You know, I've got a really touching note here from Tamara.
They have no place among these people. Yes.
Tamara with a really touching note, subject line, Animal Brothers and Sisters. She says, I grew up witnessing a lot of cruelty to animals, and because of that, couldn't bring myself to love them. When I finally was able to, They gave me back my humanity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
There you go.
And they have so many things to offer us and so many things for us that are yet to be learned about them. And, but like I say, that's a very, very sad type of thing to even...
But the thing is, it's just... It is one piece of evidence in a larger larger jigsaw of life here, and I think you know that's true, Jim.
I don't see much of it because I don't go out that much. I don't want to see it, and you know there's no attraction for me, and I have my own little world here, and I live it according to my own terms, and I try to, and that's just my way of dealing with it. And whenever I can have contact, and I have had contact before, particularly with animals that have been left, and I've taken them in and have found them homes, that's the only dealings I wish to have with the community.
Understood.
And so, you know, that's just the way I... That's just me. Because I've been all over the world. I've seen a lot of bad things. But that's one thing... feel like this. One way to ameliorate a bad situation is to actively step in and correct it and to ameliorate the situation. But going back to some other things that you were going about, this chaplain in the Air Force, I just don't understand a lot of the stuff about people like that. And he is really a piece of work, isn't he?
Oh, I think, you know, frankly, I think he's probably just your common grade of charlatan, Jim.
Well,
but,
you have a number of people who are using their own clerical beliefs or whatever to enhance their own in economic and political careers, and it's all basically, as far as I'm concerned, you know, basically snake oil salesmen who will try to show you where the egress is and charge you $20 for it, you know?
Well, agreed, but I also think that this man is one of those people who uses the idea of faith as a vehicle for his own fears, paranoias, and hatreds.
Well,
that's what makes him dangerous.
That's a funny thing because, you know, I've dealt with chaplains before, and there is, for example, in the Army, there's an Army regulation that deals with the conduct of chaplains. And these chaplains, according to this Army regulation, and we pulled it up one time before, years ago. I pulled it up on the Internet when we were talking about the same thing. And you can just punch in chaplains, and it'll give you the Army regulation right there in black and white that they have to administer to any number of faiths, including Wiccans, even Satanist, and Jainism, and other types of things. I mean, there's the whole regulation is devoted to their beliefs and their burial customs and how they are to be handled if there's a death or whatever.
Right, it is the very definition of diversity and multiculturalism, is it not?
Exactly. That's the Army regulation, and I still have a copy of the original one that I saw, and it's dated 1977.
But see, Jim,
what
Chappie brings to the fore, however, is something that, in particular, a guy named Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, MRFF.org, has been working on for years now. And that is that there has been a powerful attempt to infiltrate the military with this sort of evangelical Christianity with which you are, by your own admission, unfamiliar. And that's not a criticism. It's, you know, it just is. And I don't think a lot of people understand that this infiltration is taking place.
Well, you know about the lady whose husband was a Wiccan or whatever. She had to go through all types of efforts to get, when her husband was killed in Southwest Asia, to have his religion honored. And finally, even under W. Bush, they put up a stone, according to this guy, that had the symbol of that particular faith or whatever, of Wiccan faith. I think it was a pentangle or a pentagram.
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, there have been efforts to try to combat that, but unfortunately, when you have a lot of people who are so hidebound to their own particular form of religious dogma, they simply lose any type of room or space in their own heads or minds or actions for anyone else who differs from their own. And they attempt to ride roughshod, and they're using command structure to do so.
And you would be surprised, Jim, to find out how many there are in the higher levels of the command structure of the United States military who have already been co-opted by this fundamentalism. In fact, it's said that it's particularly pernicious inside the Air Force, and you cannot advance without being one of these evangelicals.
That's really strange. That's really strange.
Well, there's a reason why Focus on the Family and people like Gordon Klingenschmitt and Everson and oodles of others are centered right there in Colorado Springs alongside the Air Force Academy.
Well, you know, the Air Force, as far as you're all, and I mean, I don't mean to denigrate any other branch of the service, especially your Air Force is the highest level of education and skills sets and things of that nature as opposed to the other services.
Let me share something with you.
I mean, the Air Force traditionally has always been the leader in co-opting change for the better and improving itself and this type of thing.
Let me share with you a note that Mikey Weinstein recently received in regard to his efforts to put some distance between proselytization and service to one's country at the Air Force Academy. His whole mission began as a result of the fact that his son was in the Air Force Academy, and he's Jewish. I think secularly, but his heritage is Jewish, and they were trying to force evangelical Christianity upon him. And so they've gotten a bunch of these right wing evangelicals all whipped up. And Mikey Weinstein, and Jude sent this to me, Mikey Weinstein routinely gets this kind of stuff. This note says, "Mr. Weinstein, I am the Christian mother of wonderful Christian children and the wife of a Christian Air Force officer. We are stationed at the Air Force Academy, where my husband proudly serves the Lord, our family, and our country in that order. We belong to a spirit-filled Christian church in a town also shining with the light of Christ and the word of Christ. Me, my husband, and our entire church are just furious at you and your Christian-hating MRFF gang of troublemakers. You all just cannot get over yourselves. You think by raising the Constitution, small c, over the word of Christ, big C, you are doing good? You are not. My husband and I saw the Colorado Springs Independent article by that awful atheist lesbian Zubek writer. It was sent to us by members of our church board last evening. As a reminder of the work of Satan, which persists here," and I got to tell you that the grammar and the punctuation on this is just hell. "As a reminder of the work of Satan, which persists here in Colorado Springs and at the Academy, aided and led by you, Mr. Weinstein, now you attack the honor code at the Academy as you attack all other things sacred in Christ. There is nothing wrong with so help me God being sworn to by the cadets when they swear to uphold the honor code. Would you prefer them to swear to Satan? Yes, we know that you would. Everyone here knows why you attack the Academy over its love of God and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Because your own children came here and couldn't cope with an Air Force Academy where the gentle words of Christ bring hope and ease sorrow for all. You just cannot live and let live if Jesus is working His word at the Air Force Academy." You hear all these dog whistles and buzzwords, Jim? "You deny the only Lord and Savior to the Air Force Academy because you are so very evil. We are taught in church to hate the sin but love the sinner. But you are all sin, Mr. Weinstein. Our church prays your days be few until you meet your father, Satan."
Well, that's her opinion. and that's how she feels. And I.
And there are thousands like her.
I don't understand
inside the Air Force.
I don't understand that type of thing, in particular how it could be geared to being promoted or whatever. But you know, I have seen examples of this type of thing. For example, I knew this female who was an Army major who had this huge Bible on her desk. I mean, it was, the thing must have taken up half the desk. And at first, I thought it was one of those dictionaries that you used to be able to buy. You know,
oh, the Oxford unannotated that came with the magnifying glass?
Well, this one didn't need a magnifying glass. It was so damn big. And I asked her, I said, is that some type of new DOD directive or whatever? Because they sort of look like that, too. No, that's the Bible. And I said, I wonder why it's so large. And I had a little pocket test that my father had given me. And it was in my jacket pocket. And I said, well, this is mine.
A lot easier to keep that one close to your heart, isn't it?
That's exactly what I told her. We never spoke again. And that person, as far as I'm concerned, was just a very cruel individual who was just totally beyond the realm of any type of human compassion or whatever. I mean, there are people like that, and yet they float their own atrocity.
Well, and the reason I brought that up is I don't think there's a great deal of distance between the woman who wrote that email and the guy out the road here with the cats, Jim.
Well, I guess there is a similarity there. You know, it's a distant similarity. I mean, if
you have a religious disagreement with somebody, so you send them an email professing the love of Christ, and you close by wishing that they'll die soon and go to hell to their father, Satan.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are people like that. I mean, they get all wrapped around the axle, and they say things that they should not say. They write things they should not write, and they think thoughts that maybe should be rethought or never thought in the first place. And that's my only response.
Well, I guess my point, Jim, is that there is an entire structure in place to disseminate those thoughts. You know, these people are not particularly bright or creative enough to come up with this by themselves. And it's people like Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmitt, disgraced, who foster it.
Yeah, he's got quite a curriculum vitae, doesn't he? His background.
Well, he's kind of like St. Paul. He's all things to all people now, isn't he?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, Paul, we're getting into Pauline theology. We want to do that, but I mean, you know, I'll leave St. Paul out of this. But
hey, Jim, you've lit up a couple of lights behind you, so I'm gonna try to catch up with them. You have yourself a good evening. All right.
Well, same to you.
And you know, I hope your four-legged family gets over the bugs real quick.
MYOC. Okay.
Wee. Later, bye. Jim. Bye. Our buddy Jim, let's roll it along, 304-658-3333. Quick update, still looking to get past the kind contributions that have come in from Chad. And I want to get this right. I try to keep these things off on the top of my head, but sometimes I don't. No, the kind contributions that have arrived from Chad and from David and from an anonymous contributor. Thank you very much as well for the contribution that rolled in overnight. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. You can also use bobkincaid@gmail.com if you so wish. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's up, Bob?
Hey, what's happening, Jim?
Just listening to the horrifying pet torture stories.
Sorry.
That's all right. I mean, I just tuned in the last hour or so, but I mean, you know, you know that stuff goes on, but it's just I don't know why. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know why people blow a president's head off in a parade. You know, call me crazy. That just man's inhumanity. Not only the man, but just its smaller animals, like y'all were talking about, a cat or a dog. All they want to do is just please you. They just, yeah. You know, I remember my dad had a cat, and the cat would just, like, love to sit on his chest and just purr away. The cat was like a nirvana. Just sitting there purring. And why people would do that to, animals that just want to please you. You know, we talked about this a couple of months or two ago. Yeah, about the lambs, you know.
Right.
Just kind of mind-boggling. But then again, you drop napalm on people. I guess kicking a dog's not that bad when you're dropping napalm on your fellow humanity.
But I think, Jim, it all goes to the larger disconnectedness. When you disconnect from your existence, everything begins to fall apart, and torment becomes easy.
Probably, but I mean, I'm trying. When you started thinking, humanity's been that way to humanity ever since it, quote unquote, got civilized, almost ever since you were able to form tribes. I mean, before, maybe not. I'm not an anthropologist. I can't go back. It seems to me, if you go back further, man's inhumanity to man wasn't as deep or as hardcore. I mean, now you got sociopaths, and you call them ex-presidents, you know, like George Bush Jr.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think he was a sociopath while he was sort of the appointed president, too.
Yeah, stealing the election. Yeah. And and then you try and talk to people, and they just go along with it. And you just kind of, I pretty much, you can't really, they're either, you know, A or B, you know, they're either for or against, and it kind of blows me away sometimes, especially where I'm living at right now in a rural area, and everything's pretty much kind of redneckish.
Ish? I kind of know where you are, Jim. Ish?
Yeah, I've been kind.
That's like me saying this place is kind of hillbilly-ish.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm a hillbilly, so I can say that.
Yeah, well, I was trying to be, what is it, discretion's the better part of valor or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you were trying to be gentle.
Right. It's very hardcore. I mean, in fact, whenever I find somebody who's even concurs with me slightly as far as Obama not being the worst president ever, kind of blows my mind. And to me, always the subtext is not just that he's a Democrat, and not just that he's black, but he's half white and half black. And I think that really freaks.
I think there's an element of inside what passes for a culture in this country that hates that worse than if he were so-called purely one or the other. And of course, we all understand that race is a silly-ass construct invented by white folks in the first place.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, if race couldn't mix with race, I mean, maybe the species would have died off. You know, in fact, from what I remember from biology, the more diverse your DNA mix, the stronger you tend to be. Yeah.
Right. That's
why you don't like to intermarry in families. No matter how cute your cousins may be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Yeah. I just caught the last hour of your show. I wasn't able to catch. I was having trouble with my computer. But, you know, once again, another great show. But I have to go back and listen to the first 2 hours. And,
well, I'm glad we were just able to get on the air. It was getting a little weird toward the end.
Oh,
there.
Really?
Yeah. Server problems. We've seen a bunch of buffering this evening. I'm sure when he gets back, Ben will sort it out. And...
Well, that's like your Friday show, your Thursday show, or your Friday. What was it? I was never able to catch the whole show because the beginning would start. I was listening to the rebroadcast.
And you know that, yeah. There's a lot of automation that works in all of this, and I think the best thing for me to say, Jim, to you and to anybody else. That ever wants to avoid that, shoot me a note, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and I will in turn send you an invitation to the Horns Dropbox, where you can go and just grab the file. Now, you know, you download it, but you don't take it out of the file, so everybody can keep on getting it. But that's the best workaround, and I can also Facebook post it and tweet post it and stuff like that to make it possible.
Okay, well, I mean, you're still, you're a couple of light years ahead of me in computer technology.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Catching. Yeah. I don't know. But I'm catching up, but it's slow. It's a slow process, so.
Well, slow and steady wins the race. Jim, it's awful good to hear from you this evening.
All right, man. Another great show. I'll talk to you maybe Friday, maybe next week.
Well, no show Friday. We're going to do our anniversary show tomorrow, program tomorrow night. We're 8 years old, and then back on Monday.
Oh, well, I want to ask you this real quick, because I remember I went back on some of your old shows, and I was listening to one from like 05.
Oh, God.
Oh, and it was weird, because it was like 2 weeks, you just gotten the notice that you were getting cut, let go.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, that would be like June of 2005, yeah.
Yeah, I just happened to pick that at random, so I guess the sky spooks were guiding me. But that was interesting to listen to the show back then and then to listen to it now. And it was all right. It was pretty good back then, but I think it progressed a great deal.
Well, it's certainly grown and changed. It's not the same program that it was to begin with. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that it began on terrestrial radio.
Oh yeah!
It becomes a very different animal when we start playing in the wild, wild fields of the interweb tubes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me let you go. Take care of things.
All right, Jim. You have a good night.
Catch you next week, then.
All right. Bye now. Jim calling from Louisiana. Stan, onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mr. Bob.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, I was doing fine till you told me Klingenschmidt was running for the Colorado Senate out here.
Or, I don't know, I guess maybe the House.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to look that up tomorrow, and I'm kind of going to try, if he's near here in Colorado Springs, if he has like a town hall or some kind of campaign event, I'm going to try and go to it and bring up that thing that Jeremy looked up, the patent search that he did.
Oh, Isaac, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just going to, you know, very gently, well, what happened to your patent? I did a patent search, and there's nothing there, you know. Of course, I'll probably be escorted out of the room immediately afterwards.
Oh, no, they'll bring you a snake to handle or something, probably.
Yeah, you know. But I just wanted to kind of touch base because I haven't called in a while. One of the questions that's been not bothering me but been on my mind since you talked about your daughter, since you first talked about her becoming a homecoming princess.
Right.
Does that, because I remember I knew
Sadly, it comes with no emoluments.
Yeah. I was wondering, is there any cost to the parents involved in that, or does the school take care of everything?
No, the school takes care of nothing. I mean, I guess they took care of her little sash or baldric or whatever. But
gown?
No, well, there was no gown. It was just it was cold. It was just a sort of business suit sort of affair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know we were for our
But yeah, we were on the hook for that.
Yeah, our homecoming was gowns, and literally the prom afterwards, they set the king and queen.
Yeah, but you were raised down south now, weren't you?
Huh?
You were raised down south now, weren't you, Kevin?
Well, yeah, lower
Florida.
Not lower Alabama, but central Florida.
Yeah, well, that's a different world.
Yes, it's not really the
Among South. Other things, you know, it all takes place out on the football field, which is kind of wet and grassy and icky.
Yep.
And you don't ask a young woman to go parading out onto a muddy field in a prom gown.
Well, that's what we did. That's what I'm saying. I was just, you know, and in Florida, we have a lot more rain there than you do up there on a more consistent basis, you know, like 200 days a year or something like that, we get rain. And that's one of the things I remember about it is these girls were in these long gowns and little tiaras on their head and the whole works.
No, you don't get the tiara until you're actually crowned homecoming queen, around here at least.
Well, if I remember right, they had the homecoming queen had like the biggest and whatever, but the court had some sort of headdress or whatever. But I was just curious about that because it's, you know, it's a thing in back to my days. While I wasn't part of the homecoming court or anything, that whole process is a mini rite of passage for the kids. You know, because...
Oh, yeah, and it, I mean, it's a big social thing, and...
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and so I was just kind of wondering how much the parents are on the hook for there, because, you know... I knew if I had been a member of the homecoming court, my parents couldn't have afforded what it would have cost, you know, just based on what you said. And your daughter was in a business suit, so, you know, can you imagine one of these big prom gowns? And what
yeah, but see, Kevin, that's the whole thing. It becomes a line of economic demarcation.
Right.
Because young women from... lower economic strata know damned good and well that there's no sense in running because they can't afford the price of admission.
No.
I mean, there are all kinds of subtle, you know, subtle cues that run throughout these sort of things. It's like last night when I was talking with Jeff about, you know, metrics and the tendency of authoritative governments to, you know, misuse them. One of the things to observe is that things like measurements and quantification are often used as means of oppression.
Right.
And that's kind of what I was getting at there. And you know, that is precious lumpkin can always be homecoming queen, but if she's the most beautiful, young, beautiful, talented, intelligent young woman in the school, but she comes from a poor family, it ain't going to happen.
No.
Because that's that would be democracy, and most institutions in this country don't much care for it, Kevin.
No.
We're very good at giving lip service to it, but actually practicing it, well, it's kind of like Christianity. We're good at talking about it, but we kind of suck at practicing it.
Right. Well, that's the other point I wanted to make, because what you were talking about with the first gym out here in Colorado Springs with Mikey Weinstein, I can vouch for it. I've seen it. Pam Zubek's one of my favorite writers.
Oh, is that so? That's whom they were that satanic Zubek woman. That's what that's about.
Yep. And I would imagine the independents online, if anybody wants to check.
But there's a larger thing to be observed there, and that is that these people who worship the most powerful force in the universe cannot even tolerate being criticized. And since this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, it should be pointed out that that has been the attitude of Christianity for 2,000 years. All the way, and I mean, there are hints at it inside the New Testament itself. Saul, could not stand to be corrected by Peter and James.
Oh, yeah.
And correct him they did.
Which one was it that he basically didn't speak to for years and years?
It was both of them. I mean, well, you know, one of the things you find out in the sort of apocrypha of the early church is that not only was Paul in Rome, but Peter went to Rome as well, and that he was crucified upside down on an X instead of a cross because he refused to emulate his Lord and Savior.
Right.
But there's a subtext to it. There's a reason why Peter went to Rome. At the time that that happened, the early church was basically a Jewish subsect that was still keeping, James and Peter were all for keeping all the religious laws and the dietary laws and all of that, and Paul is the one who went out to the Greeks. And so the reason that Peter winds up in Rome is he is there to counter what Peter and James and the followers back in Jerusalem deemed to be the bullshit teachings of Paul.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
So it's been it's been going on for 2,000 years, and it hasn't changed an iota. And so for people to be surprised that Christianity is behaving this way, especially the fundamentalist variety, it's certainly no shock to me, Kevin.
No, it's not a shock to me, having grown up in it, around it. I attended a Baptist school when I was a kid. There are things like that that go on in the most subtle of ways, too. You know, I remember assemblies on Friday where that was all it was a church service. And then I can also remember one teacher I had. We used to make it a game out of getting him to preach because it got us out of schoolwork. And he came up with some of the wildest stories. You didn't believe them, but it was fun to, hey,
it beat working.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, I got to get out of here because we're right up on top of it, but it was awful good talking to you.
Yep, I might try calling in tomorrow, and hey, it'll be your anniversary.
Indeed. Take care, Kevin.
All right, you too.
Bye now. And by the way, Duncan says he'll try to pull together the usual suspects for tomorrow so that we can have a Thursday on the front thorn or whatever. Thorn in the front porch. Pick one. And that'll be a lot of fun, especially with it being our 8th anniversary, 24th day of October. Time to get out of here. It really, really is. So thanks all of you for making all of this go. Thanks for the kind contributions this evening. And, hopefully we'll make up those other 13 $10 contributions between now and tomorrow night. You sure helped out a lot, David and Chad and Anonymous. So thank you very, very much. Jason as well. So thanks to all of everybody, the all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to John.